On the knee, up before the sun, still you gotta bleed. Tired little town, hot dust in your throat. You learn how to run, then you learn to float. Every eye's a test, every turn is a gate. Every night on the line, a chance to be great. No sleep, no grace, still you show your face. One more round, one more climb, one more shot tonight.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sin City Indie Report. I am Sin City Steve, being joined by Red Jed, as always. Woo! Jed, how the hell are you, bro?
Woo, 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 oh, baby. Hey, it's Red Jed, right back with you, ladies and gentlemen, at the Sin City Indie Report tonight. Let's get some indie on, ladies and gentlemen. Come on.
Absolutely, man. You know, and it's pretty awesome because every week we try to bring a little bit of fun facts and fun fact this week. There's a pyramid on the Strip, Jed, with a beam of light so powerful that pilots can see it from hundreds of miles away and it can be seen from space.
Damn. Okay.
You know, that's still less dramatic than an indie wrestler discovering fog machines, though. anyway. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Like I said, today is May 29th, 2026, and we've got a lot of shows to talk about. So without any further ado, we're going to dive in, and we're going to start with Memphis Wrestling, Jed. You and I both had the privilege of checking this show out. It was a fun hour of programming, zoomed right by. And this show was all about our boy right there, Hollywood Jimmy, in full effect, man.
Oh my God. Yeah, multiple segments involving Hollywood Jimmy and the Hollywood Click. Oh my Lanta. Good Lord Almighty.
He's taking over, bro.
This fucking guy, man. He is saucy, dude. He is something. He's a character, and these segments where he was evaluating talent, just cornball sandwich, man. But I loved it.
I was gonna say, yes, it was corny as hell, but it was good. It executed on what it needed to do. Yeah. And the thing is, obviously, there's a pronounced effort around traditional pro wrestling, you know, with all of the innovation that's going on. There is still a market and still a place for traditional professional wrestling done the way that it's been done for decades at this point. So, you know, I think that those talent review segments kind of tied into something that we would see from a prior era in pro wrestling. So it was cool to see, you know, a bit of nostalgia. It was definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was something. And I think we got a little more insight. He's like invested money in the company somehow. Yeah. So he's like bought stock in the company. So I guess that thing with King Cobra with the, I don't know. They didn't ever follow up with that, with the photo that he pulled out of the folder. And that was like the whole thing. So stay tuned, I guess, on that note. So shit. What
the fuck? You know, the thing is, realistically, this show really wasn't all that much about the in-ring. You know, there were a couple of matches, you know, two matches to speak of that had 3-minute run times or less. Yeah. So it was more so about them continuing to build story. And obviously the story arc that they're doing with the Hollywood Click is what they're putting everything behind right now. So yeah, you can kind of see the pieces being put into place. I do have to say though, man, I'm never a fan of ending a show on a no contest.
True.
I'm not a fan of it. Occasionally you'll have things that'll play in and set the stage for things down the road, but you know, not a huge fan, to be honest.
And then this one too, the ending brawl was just like kind of this endless fucking drivel of a brawl. Yeah. The match itself was fine. It was, you know, I liked the angle behind it. It's father and son against father and son, the white team of Kevin White, and I can't remember his son's name.
Gavin.
But against the business dogs.
The business dogs.
Tim Grimes. What's his son's name? It's a weird, goofy ass.
Lil Homie.
Lil Homie, indeed. Yes. Wow. Fucking A, man. I mean, I'm assuming we're getting a tag next week.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's without a doubt where we're going with
that. Yeah. How about the opener as well for the BMF title?
The big main fight title.
Big main. Oh my God. Only in Memphis wrestling.
You gotta love it, man.
Fight title. Good Lord. That K Tumor guy.
Dude. Oh. he squashed Big Jack in that opener.
The master of the fat jitsu, if you will. Good Lord. This was a fucking hoot, dude.
Yeah, dude. This was a fun show. It wasn't anything to where it was like, you know, 5-star matches by any means, but it was enjoyable. It allowed you to just shut your brain off for an hour and just for a few minutes there, you were at the Wrestle Center right there live in Memphis.
Yeah, lots of wacky promos. Very like kind of in the middle of the show, a very wacky, I guess you'd call it a non-match, an attempt at a match between the LA Hustlers and the fucking modern day monsters who literally scared the fuck out of the LA Hustlers to the point where they didn't even fucking get in the ring.
They didn't do anything.
Dip the fuck out, man. What the hell? Oh, Jesus. Mother Mary.
Oh, man. We can only hope that next week and going forward with Memphis wrestling that, you know, we actually get matches that are longer than 5 minutes anywhere on the show.
True. Yeah. At least a main event, like put some time into it, 10, 15 minutes, please. Yeah,
absolutely, man. And you know, let's go ahead and turn the page and Jed, talk to me about Gotham Wrestling and what went down this week on Gotham.
Yeah, so another UWN property similar to Memphis Wrestling. This was actually the first time I've actually gotten a look at Gotham Wrestling from start to finish. I've seen little clips here and there. I've caught a little – sometimes they have a Gotham Wrestling match on Championship Wrestling. So you get little pieces here and there. But this was my first full hour of Gotham. And from what I saw, there was some notable stuff. They did a promo with a guy I haven't seen in a hell of a long time, Chris Dickerson.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was always wondering where the fuck this guy went, and apparently he's in Gotham. He recently advanced into something called, and I gotta look into this, it's an upcoming big match. They're promoting the skyscraper match. I don't know if this is like a scaffold match or like,
oh shit,
what this gimmick is, but more to come on that. But anyway, he advanced in some sort of tournament they're calling the Five Boroughs Classic. Keep in mind in Gotham, New York City area, things of that nature. And then on this show, then they had a Five Boroughs Classic match from the Manhattan block. So my interpretation of this is they did mini tournaments in these blocks to lead to each competitor winning a block, and they all get it put into this skyscraper match. So this was a triple threat match with Dan Parker against Jake Redondo against a guy, again, I haven't seen in a handshake, Brett Ryan Goslin, who I'd seen in MLW and some other stuff. So he was in for this one. Jake Redondo went over, advancing him into this skyscraper match. So there you go on that. Other notable names that were on this show, Drew Gulak did a promo. So he's in the mix. VSK also is here, a familiar name with another guy that name sounds familiar. I don't know where I saw him prior, but Bryce Donovan. Mm. His name's rang a bell. Here's a name that's familiar. Gypsy Mac.
Absolutely.
She was on this show in a match with Simone, which actually was a match that they taped at a Sunday Night Slam taping. So this would have been in the Los Angeles area. They just dropped it on here for some reason. And then the one thing that really stood out to me, you know me, I'm a horror nerd. I love anything horror. They had a horror-based character on this one called Amity Levea. Kind of felt like Art the Clown-ish a little bit. A vibe, kind of like tortured soul demon kind of thing, putting spells on motherfuckers. Dan Joseph showed up in this match, and he was under some spell of hers and attacked the second of the opponent of Amity LeVay. So wild stuff on Gotham Wrestling. I'll be keeping up on this one. I'm really curious where this skyscraper match is going.
Yeah.
Who's going to be all involved in it. So we will see.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. So that definitely sounds interesting for sure. And let's actually, while we're talking about UWN properties, tell me about Championship Wrestling this week, bro.
Yeah, man. A few little things. The biggest piece of Championship Wrestling, and I talked about it before, was the Sunday Night Slam concept. And, outside of the episode itself, they did drop on social media that the Sunday Night Slam is officially back on June 14th with a main event they were building on this show of Willie Mack against Jordan Cruz for the UWN World Championship. So that is their next big PLE type event. Will be on Triller Plus live that evening on June 14th. So that'll be something that I think we'll probably talk about on this this podcast down the road. So otherwise on the episode itself, here was a familiar name, Steve, that we saw in the Container Park show, WrestleMania week, a woman named Karma. She was on the show managing a tag team called Delirium.
Nice.
Pretty cool gimmick. Also Brody Young Pop Prodigy, BYP, was on this show.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he was.
You can see BYP on multiple indie promotions.
For absolutely, sure. Man. Yeah, representing Las Vegas again in there against a guy named Buck Skinner, real tall. So this was a David and Goliath match.
Oh yeah.
It was not a lot of time to it. It was fine, but Buck Skinner did go over in this one. BYP looked great, however, and definitely held his own in the match. Jordan Cruz also in the main event had a kind of a open challenge. Out came the Anomaly, Alex Ace. Very large presence with this guy. Good stuff. Main event was solid. Jordan Cruz did go over in this one. And that's pretty much the long and short of Championship Wrestling this week. But like I said, they're starting to build Sunday Night Slam coming up on June 14th.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it sounds good. And, you know, the UWN promotions, obviously, if you guys are familiar with those promotions, we do have interviews in the archive, actually, with David Marquez. So after this show ends, if you want to go check that out, listen to us talking to David Marquez, the mastermind behind the UWN, feel free to do so in the Vegas Bad Boys podcast archives. Awesome, man. Let's go ahead and we'll turn the page now and we'll talk a bit about WXM Ground Zero. I'll tell you, man, this show continues to be a solid show every week. It's 1 hour. It's easily digestible.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing more names that are easily recognizable over. Which I think is huge, especially considering they're gaining more of a following, putting their shows out everywhere right now on YouTube and, you know, on their various social media platforms. Right in the opening match, you had a Guru, formerly of NXT, defeating Charles Sterling in a heavyweight title tournament semifinal match. So they're in the process of crowning their heavyweight champion. So still very early in this promotion's history, which is really cool to see. Elsewhere on this show, again, I mentioned some names that might seem familiar. JD Lee and Tokyo Jiro. They did lose to the Burner Brothers, Ricky and Scotty. So good stuff there. And, you know, Jacket Time lives on, supposedly, I guess. And but here's the thing, and here's what really kind of, you know, this episode was pretty solid, but the things amped up. And I threw out the caveat at the very beginning of the show that I'm not a fan of when shows end in a no contest unless there's storyline development or anything of that nature.
Yeah.
And here is said proof. So the main event of this show was Kevin Malik versus Neil. And so they've been running a storyline where these two guys were aligned in a tag team. And supposedly Neil was attacked by a masked man. He claims that it was Kevin Malik, blah, blah, blah. After this match, and what caused the no contest in this match was actually interference from the man who did attack him, which was Axel Tischer, formerly known as Alexander Wolf from WWE. Hmm. And he didn't show up alone. As the new owner of Progress Wrestling, Big Damo shows up.
Holy
and
shit.
They reform Sanity right there. And so obviously you interject two names that are very familiar to a wide variety of wrestling fans, and instantly you build the impulse. So I really like what they're doing here in WXM. And again, it's a free show. You can watch it on their YouTube. You can also watch it on Triller. So highly recommend checking it out. They drop a show every single week, and it has yet to be a boring show or non-entertaining.
Wow. Yeah, that's a hell of a finish, man. I didn't see that coming from a mile away.
Yeah,
wow.
Dude. And like they've had so in the unsanctioned match last week, they had Donovan Dijak there. Mm-hmm. They've had, you know, guest spots from popular names. So they're doing a really good job of sprinkling in names that'll get attention from mainstream and from casual fans. But also you can see that they're building their own crop of talent. And they're really solidifying, you know, getting a pipeline of Indian talent, which realistically is very key. Indian wrestling fans are some of the most rabid wrestling fans on the planet. Yeah, it's one of those things that I think that they can do some great things if they continue doing what they're doing.
Fuck yeah, man. I'm looking forward to seeing them in the future. Absolutely.
Definitely, man. So let's go ahead and pivot. And Jed, talk to me about Reality of Wrestling and Glory 11. This show looked like it was stacked, bro.
Yeah, man. So a lot of stuff happened on this show. As you can see, there was a steel cage match. I'll talk a little bit about their weekly show as well, which was a follow-up from this. But, yeah, this aired on YouTube Live. So they have a similar – this is Booker T's company, if everybody's not aware. It's based in Texas. And they have these special events every so often. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the structure of OVW and some of these other ones where they'll have PLEs. Kind of every month or so, big shows that they're leading to, big kind of climaxes of storylines and things like that. And that definitely was the case with this one, because on this show, they announced through various means that Booker T is kind of back in control of his company that he had lost prior. So that was a big piece of this one. There was some good stuff on this show for sure. And right on top, like on the marquee there, that steel cage match with AJ Francis and EK Prosper was solid. Also on this show, Nico Vance, who's from NXT as well, he won the Reality of Wrestling World Championship from Danny Limelight, a familiar name. Yes, so That was a big part of this show as well. And that tied into, like I said, Booker T kind of getting back control of his company as well. And then that led to their weekly show, which airs basically before AEW on Wednesday nights. It's called Platinum. That's nice. Their weekly show, which also drops on YouTube every week. So Booker T opened the show, just did a promo talking about how he is back. And Nico Vance came out as well. He introduced and put over Nico Vance. So we had that going on. There was a championship match as well with Daniel Alexandro against Jay Alexander. That was actually really good, I thought. The wacky-ass match of the week on this promotion was a just not a very well wrestled match, but it was entertaining. I will say that much. It was like watching a car crash. This was between the Savage King and Hoka, the Hybrid King. So Battle of Kings, if you
will. Battle of the Kings.
Yeah, Battle of Kings. And then the main event was actually a solid cruiserweight style match between Jesse Funaki, who I don't believe he's related to the other familiar Funaki, but he worked against Nasir Day, who seemed to have a really interesting personality in this match, where he was slowly turning heel as the match progressed. He came in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. From my feeling of while they were booking this, he was not a heel in the start of this whole match and scenario. But by the end of the match, Jesse Funaki won, and then Nasir Day attacked him after the match and effectively, I believe, turned fully heel. So some interesting stuff on this show. This was a first for me. I'd never seen Reality Wrestling PLE. And to follow up, I had never seen the Reality Wrestling weekly episodes of Platinum. So I'll keep tuned. Every so often, I'll provide some updates on this promotion. It's a lot of young guns, some more crisp than others. It's a training facility in its essence. So that's something to keep in mind as you're watching this.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, it's always good to get a sampling of what all's out there, man, because there are so many independent promotions out there. And if, you know, if you're listening to this or watching this, but you haven't really, you know, jumped in to another indie promotion, that's why we're going to continue to not just spotlight promotions, but we're going to continue to spotlight various promotions here. So that way, if you like, let's say, something that Jed or I say, then yeah, give that one a shot. But it might not be something that we watch every single week. It might be something that we have to talk about every single week. It really just all depends on that promotion and what kind of stuff falls out from those shows.
Exactly. So. You know, and we live in a wonderful era of wrestling right now where there is more independent wrestling on YouTube on a weekly basis, an episodic format, than ever. I mean, this is quite the time we live in where we can comment easily on 10 to 15 indie shows a week.
Easily.
That are having weekly episodic formats. That's impressive as hell. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's plenty out there, you know?
Oh yeah. We by no means cover absolutely everything. We are human and there's only 24 hours in each day. So we both have shoot jobs and you know, let's be real. That stuff takes precedence at least right now, you know?
Right. Yep.
So, but, you know, let's, I'm going to turn the page and I'm going to talk about a show that literally just went down earlier tonight. And I'm talking about Greektown Pro Wrestling. They did their show at the Ted Reeve Arena. The Thunderdome, if you will, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And, dude, you had a stacked show with Reality of Wrestling. This was a stacked show as well, man. As you can look at the card and you see, I mean, the production versus Alice Crowley and cocaine representation from JCW. Obviously we'll break down Lunacy here in just a bit. Mm-hmm. But Derek Dillinger and Katie Arquette came up just short as Alice Crowley got the cocaine and you know, hulked up, if you will, or big out up. And ended up taking home the win there. So that was fun to see. Elsewhere, we had a six-way scramble that was a lot of fun, man. It was Bryce Hansen versus Cheech versus Jeffrey John versus Brent Banks versus Jermaine Marbury, who has a great character. He has a basketball-centric character, but he's 100% committed to it. So all of his moves and moveset revolves around him being a basketball player. It works because the person playing the character is 100% invested. So that's awesome. And then the last name in that six-way scramble and the winner of that match was – Don Freeze, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. He showed out yet again in this one, man. All these guys, it was pretty high octane stuff. It was, it was pretty well paced for that scramble. But yeah, Don Freeze picking up the win. That was very solid stuff. But elsewhere, man, on this show, we had the League versus the Outrunners.
Oh, my. Man.
Truth Magnum, Turbo Floyd, the youngest men alive, doing their thing. And they picked up the win after the you son of a bitch elbow. A lot of fun.
Nice.
Hell yeah. But this show was headlined by not one, not two, but three steel cage matches.
Oh, shit. Oh,
wow. Yeah, man. As the first of three was Bill Collier, a talent from there in Canada, taking on and defeating Tommy Dreamer.
Oh,
that's right. Tommy Dreamer putting over Bill Collier in a steel cage in Toronto. You love it. You got to love it.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Elsewhere, you had Lady Frost versus Silesia Spark versus Jody Threat versus Danny Moe. Now, Lady Frost was actually pulled from this event. She was replaced by AK-47, Allison K, and makes no difference. Danny Moe picking up the win in that four-way. So, obviously, like I said, we're going to talk about what she did during JCW Lunacy. But Danny Moe picks up the win, pinning Sparks in a solid four-way steel cage match. But your main event, which was a lot of fun. Ortiz and Eddie Kingston versus Channing Decker and Joey Janela.
Damn, all right.
Dude, this was a lot of fun. It was I'd say just shy of 20 minutes or so. But yeah, exactly what you would think you would get. You have Ortiz and Eddie Kingston getting in there doing great stuff, man. It's good to see them on AEW programming, but it's also great to see them in intimate settings like this, where you know they're going to get great reactions and they're going to keep the crowd hyped as they easily did. Decker actually pinned Ortiz. So So Channing Decker gets the pinfall victory over Ortiz to close it out. Yeah, man, solid stuff with Greektown. I've been following them on social media for a while, but honestly, I never checked out any of their shows. This was my first time checking them out. I will definitely check them out more in the future because I thoroughly enjoyed this one.
And this was Triller?
This was on Triller.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. It's free with Triller Plus. So if you are a Triller Plus subscriber, I highly recommend taking the time. It was about 3 hours for the show. So obviously there's some downtime in there from when they're setting up the steel cage. So you can fast forward through an intermission period. So very cool stuff. But let's go from talking about Greektown to talking about something that happened in my town. And women of wrestling, Jed, talk to me about WOW.
Yep. Once again, from Fremont Street, the Fremont Street Experience, right in the heart there, right by that Golden Nugget and the D and all that good stuff. These tapings continue on. And there was some good stuff this week. There was a very gimmicky match with two very interesting gimmicks, I guess we'll say. One was Scout Parker, who was the gimmick of the environmentalist. She was kind of a butchy, boring lesbian character, so to speak, perhaps, possibly, against the wacky gimmicked Dr. Pam Demonium. And she was like, she had the professor's suit on and everything. She was with a faction called the Enlightened, which was some of the most random people that I didn't know who they were necessarily and what their gimmicks were. It was just a motley crew of, I guess their gimmick is they are like a cult a little bit. Really eccentric characters. Another person in this group was called the Class Master. They wore like a graduation gown and like hit people with a big old like college book. Samantha Smart was the kind of the ringleader of this one. I think she has a history in WoW, familiar talent. So that was the off the wall match and segment of this show. And then we moved into something more longer build. They've been building up this three-way women's tag title match forever on WoW, probably for like 2 to 3 months legitimately. This was a three-way for the title. Best for Business against Miami's Sweet Heat with Lana Starr against Tara Strike and Ashley Blaze. And Tara Strike and Ashley Blaze were basically the babyface team in this match. Best for Business, I would consider like a tweener. And then the Miami Sweet Heat was the heel team. So interesting dynamics here. It built to a crescendo, and the babyfaces got the titles as Tara Strike and Ashley Blaze actually won the titles. Miami Sweet Heat were the previous champions. So we did have a title change on this episode. They played it up real big. It was a big deal. And, they gave the match a decent amount of time for WoW standards. About, a good 15 minutes or so. So that was cool to see. And that was pretty much the show in a nutshell this week on WoW.
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 Hell yeah, man. Well, we'll turn the page and we will move on to One Fall Wrestling. And yeah, as the thumbnail suggests, there was some star power on this show. So, namely, the opening contest was Jay Lethal picking up the win over Tyler Shoop after the lethal injection. So cool. Jay Lethal continuing to do his thing, healed out in a promo before this match. So maybe testing the waters with turning heel, hopefully. Yeah. We see that applied in maybe like a Ring of Honor run or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Because obviously, as we've mentioned, 1FW is QT Marshall's promotion. So it's not out of the ordinary for them to use, and by them, I mean AEW or talents from AEW, to use these shows as a bit of a training ground or like house shows would be used to test things. So I see what they're doing now. And if they use it like this, I am 100% in favor of it. And it also does, reduce the need to necessarily do house shows if you give people, auxiliary bumps and secondary matches and give them additional training time in 1FW in front of a live audience.
Makes sense.
Not saying that Jay Lethal needs any of that, but we'll see from things later on in this show that they could use this in a very, very fruitful way. Elsewhere on this show, Elijah Drago, who has been a bit of a standout for them for quite some time, picks up the pinfall victory over Warden, who's a big, big guy. And Drago, they built him up, man. They're continuing to put him over as a powerhouse. He picked up the win over Warden, who easily, I'd say, every bit of 350 with an F5. So
is that like a big boss man type of gimmick, Warden?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a twist on it, but it's pretty cool. And then elsewhere, you know, the 1FW breakout championship was decided in a three-way. Very Morales defeated Parker Lee and Mark Davidson by pinning Parker Lee after a pile driver. I mentioned on this show a few weeks back that Very Morales is doing some great things. He is executing at a high level right now. They actually made mention of it on commentary that most of the breakout championship matches are multi-mans. So I wonder if that's going to continue to, you know, play into this, or if they're going to continue to just use him exclusively for like multi-man matches. Sure. So we shall see.
Right on.
Elsewhere on this show, we did get a promo from Maxwell Jacob Friedman, the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. And he did have the Triple B with him, incidentally. So very interesting stuff there. Essentially setting the stage for MJF to work in 1FW. I have no doubt in my mind that they're going to flesh out this partnership, and especially with the 1FW episodes now being available on the My AEW platform. And that is effective now. You can go and watch, you know, all 35 episodes of 1FW right there for free, included with your membership. Your main event, I didn't plan it this way. The main event in 1FW was yet another steel cage match. We had Brady Booker and Brady Pierce. Brady Booker is the heel champion. Brady Pierce is the heel champion. Brady Booker is a babyface who, incidentally, the cage was, this one was one of the old school blue block cages.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't the chain link style cage. Sure. This was a bit of an exaggerated block on them. So it was pretty interesting because at the end of the match, just from the wear and tear and the bumps of the guys hitting it and, you know, being thrown into the ropes and in turn into the cage, the cage started to separate. And you could actually win the match by escaping the cage.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So Brady Booker, absolute geek in all of this, because he sees exactly what's going on. And if we're talking in character, in the realm of kayfabe, guy's a geek. Because instead of just easily walking through the seam in the cage, no, he's putting the cage back together. So obviously, what in the fuck?
Oh, my God.
So Brady Pierce did end up winning the match by how? Escaping the cage.
Naturally. Jesus Christ.
Of course.
Wow.
Of course. But you know what? It told a good story. It was entertaining. And yes, you had the unintentional humor spliced in there. So that just made it even more fun. One Fall Wrestling, they continue to flesh out this working relationship with AEW. Just since we've been covering this show on the Sin City Indie Report, we've seen Jeff Jarrett, Andrade El Idolo, Orange Cassidy, Harley Cameron, obviously QT Marshall, all in guest spot roles, and now MJF. So
hell of a lot.
Interesting stuff, dude.
Yeah, they're really pulling in talent from AEW on an agreement deal there. Wow.
It's pretty interesting to see. Cool. But Jed, let's go ahead and talk about our main event.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Uh-huh.
Joel Gertner appears yet again in JCW on Lunacy, but he doesn't appear until the last fucking segment.
Yeah, last 5 minutes of the show, effectively, yeah. And we got some mystery guy that he's bringing in.
Who's coming. But someone is coming. They made that abundantly clear.
Yeah, very much. He is absolutely coming. You got it? Yep. So I there really has not been a lot of teasing. Gertner hasn't dropped it, you know, made it very clear. So I'm wondering who the fuck it is. I have no idea what to expect with this.
And that actually is a great segue. Let's dive in and talk about the first match on this show, which also did feature some mystery, if you will, as this was week number two of the 4 weeks of hell that Caleb Konley is being put through by Violent J. And who is his opponent this week that is from outside of JCW? Somebody better call his mama. It's Ernest the Cat Miller. Holy shit.
Wasn't that something, man? Yeah. Then the exchanges he had with Russo, and man, Russo's characterization on this show was just so over the top too. On a side note, he was
so hyperbolic, man.
He was in full like parodying his WCW run.
Oh yeah.
Basically, I mean, it's more or less what he was doing. And he was like caught in the fire chasm of his own memories of that or something. So, but yeah, the show actually
opened with a vignette of Vince messing around in and unzipping a bag, taking out the black bat and the Tim Lincecum jersey. It was like, what are we doing? Don't get me wrong. It was just out there enough to where I'm like, what are we doing?
Yep.
But I was interested.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're going somewhere in with this storyline as well. There was a single piece of Lunacy, just a little, one of those quick flash segments where Russo appears to have been now back aligned in with Big Vito and that whole thingamajig. So stay tuned on that one, but we got some shenanigans ahead, I can tell.
Oh my God. Yep. Do we ever. And you know, I gotta say, I was very pleased to see Kerry Morton back on this show this week.
Yeah, man.
And dude, I call it whatever you will. That guy has been doing some excellent work. Mm-hmm. And you know, his presence when he's not on the show, it is definitely missed for sure.
Yeah, and he had a really good spot on the show, basically in the main event. It was originally going to be a handicap match with Future Endeavors and Kerry Morton. So, they kind of made him look very babyface.
Yeah, they babyfaced the fuck out of him on this show.
Yeah, they sure did, because he was like, fuck it, I'm taking both of these motherfuckers on to Russo. And Russo's like, are you nuts or what the fuck? Sure. And as the storyline progressed, we ended up getting to just a one-on-one with Matt Cross and Kerry Morton, which has a whole hell of a lot of history in JCW lore between these two guys, because there was things involved with Matt Cross and Violent J losing power in JCW. And it all was way back when, where Kerry Morton and Matt Cross got into it as well, when that happened. So there was history in that main event, actually quite a bit of it. And Joe Dombrowski touched upon it, but it was actually for continuing some storyline from months on, months and months ago. Pretty impressive that they kind of went full circle with it. So I was happy to see that.
Hell yeah, man. And the one thing that I can say is that with this show, it was nearly 2 hours in length, but at the end of the show, I thought we still had like time left. Like the show just absolutely flew by. I thought that we still had maybe a half hour to 40 minutes left when the show was going off.
I know.
So that's a great testament to how well the show was paced. Mm-hmm. One thing that I think JCW does really well is they did adopt that flash structure that Nitro did so well, where they threw so much at you, but it kept your attention at the same time.
Yeah, Crash TV format, however you want to call it. Yeah, it's rapid. It's like you have a match or you have a segment in the ring, and then it flashes to a vignette in the back, maybe an advertisement real quick, and then another vignette. It just boom, 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 like maybe like 30 seconds to a minute on those little segments. It's just perfect pacing. Like it just keeps you at it. And yeah, you lose track of time. I am with you on that. You lose track of time and you're like, oh shit, it's already fucking done here almost. Damn. So impressive, impressive. One other thing I got to note on this episode, Freya the Slayer and Giselle Shaw.
Yeah.
2-0. I expected
Freya. I was surprised at that.
Something out of it. On a side note, Frey and the Slayer, I timed this out. So OVW is on Thursdays as well. Frey and the Slayer was basically in a match on JCW and OVW at the exact same time, folks.
What?
Yeah, ain't that some shit? Yeah. Ain't that some shit? Yeah. Now, in OVW, she didn't have the wacky dude who was the manager in this broke-ass...
Briar Wellington?
Who the fuck and what the fuck? Formerly known as the Richie Boy, I guess, or something along those lines, they said.
Sure.
Now known as broke ass. What the fuck?
Evidently, he lost some money.
I missed the memo on that one, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was good shit. We should talk about Danny Moe's.
We have to. Yeah, man. So obviously we mentioned Danny Moe, you know, doing some things in Greektown today. But before that, she made her presence felt as part of the Motor City Mauling Challenge between J-Rod and Sophia Rose, which was a glorified street fight. Yeah. No referee to count any falls. Yeah. It was just a vignette type of a segment. And you had these two ladies just beating the hell out of each other in a courtyard area, obviously right behind the building. I did notice that it also looked like as if maybe they were like right next to an apartment complex too.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if it was like a dog park, like a little dog park, because they did the spot with the dog shit.
Yep.
So we got that out of the whole experience as well, where motherfuckers got their fucking face in dog shit, apparently.
Dog shit.
Yeah, dog shit indeed. Yeah. Yeah, so, but it was fun. That's another staple of Russo booking, is the backstage fights with the outside, the arena stuff, and, you know, the hardcore title gimmicks and all that kind of stuff from back in the day, where they're just fighting out all over the fucking place. So,
it just works. Yeah, that stuff just works. And realistically, that takes your wrestling fan that lived through that Attitude Era and that WCW versus WWF time period. Yep. It instantly just takes us right back to that time period.
Throws you right back into it. Absolutely.
It's awesome, man. Yep. And obviously, both of these ladies are pretty much laid out. Danny Moe shows up and lays waste to J-Rod and walks off with the JCW Women's Championship.
Yeah.
And is claiming that it is hers because possession is 9/10 of the law.
Right. And then apparently she's got something out for somebody that they were teasing. Yep. That she's going to lay somebody out. I don't know if this is going to be Alice Crowley. I know they were teasing that before. Where are they going with this is anybody's guess, but I'm sure that will be followed back on next week with some sort of heinous attack by Danny Moe.
Absolutely. And, you know, we got to talk about this too, Jed. We got to talk about the masterful story progression that occurred with the outbreak and their journey to rehab.
Oh my God. What the fuck? Oh, this shit just gets crazier.
Awesome. This is fucking awesome.
My God. I love whoever, particularly this is Russo or somebody else in the booking committee that has this storylines tracking. Oh my fucking God, you guys are on it. It is so funny. Each and every week, these guys are in just the most ridiculous situations, including a fucking rehab meeting in this episode. It was a fucking trip, dude.
And rehab didn't work.
No. Nope.
Because why? Well, they had plenty of party favors in rehab.
Yeah, they sure did. And then we segued from that to the six-man with the outbreak and cocaine. And they took on the Luciano family and this crazy fucking storyline with the Brothers of Funstruction as well, where now you got Yabo out there in the Ciccone brother gimmick. And getting his ass kicked, basically, by Big Vito and his thugs. And yeah, I think through in the middle of all this, the Outbreak got the win, correct? Yes. If I recall. Yep.
Yep. They did get that win.
This match.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. Obviously, you know, you had cocaine distributing party favors all around. Yep. And
unbelievable.
Just doing things that only cocaine could do.
Did Stephen Flo come out in this one too, if I recall?
So there was the interaction with the ring rat and Stephen Flo backstage.
Yes, the cocaine on the ring rat's ass that it was being lured by Stephen Flo. Yep, that's right. Oh, what another wacky ass segment on this show. Fucking wacky segment 27 of this fucking show, let me tell you. Damn.
Dude, it was a lot of fun though, man.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And, you know, as you had mentioned, that that main event ending the way that it did as well. You know, Kerry Morton, left wondering what the fuck at the end of it all.
No shit, yeah. Was he going to get into it with Willie Mack and Too Tough Tony? It was close, but he backed off. So up on the horizon, I'm guessing future endeavors against Willie Mack and Too Tough Tony. And they keep pushing that. No, Future Endeavors did not attack these guys. They didn't do it. So there's got to be a Russo swerve in the mix of all this.
There's going to be a swerve. It's going to be somebody.
Yep.
You know, I would be cool if it's somebody that they're debuting.
Yeah, that would be my impression. It's somebody that's debuting probably. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, man, again, JCW continues to just be a lot of fun week in and week out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just a good watch. Every single week. It flies by, bro. It flies by.
And it's the weekly escape if there ever is one in wrestling.
Yes.
Wow.
It definitely allows for the escapism and allows you to turn your brain off for a couple of hours.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with how things are right now for a lot of people, that's worth it in itself.
Amen. Amen to that, bro. Yeah.
So, all right, man. So let's, what we're going to do next is we're going to kind of turn our attention from the past to the future, and we're going to look ahead at some shows that we are looking forward to within the next couple of weeks. So up next, Jed, let's talk about MLW Fusion, man. This is going to be dropping on Saturday, and that's going to be a recurring thing every single Saturday. So talk to me about it.
Yes, sir. Every single Saturday on the old traditional Saturday night time slot of
6:05
Eastern, 5:05 Central. MLW Fusion is back. It's been a while since MLW has had their weekly show. They had it prior. It was a YouTube exclusive for a while. It's also on BN Sports every week, which I think is down on like various satellite dish companies and such and that. But they are back. They've been taping these tapings for Fusion for, God, I want to say the last 3 or 4 months. So they have a lot of content that they've filmed, and they're finally kicking it off this week. Actually, tomorrow, Saturday night, 6:05 Eastern, like I said, with the re-debut of Fusion. And as you can see on this header here, we have a press conference involving Killer Cross, the MLW champion. My impression is his latest challenger will show up in that press conference. Trevor Lee and Austin Aries on paper sounds very interesting.
I was going to say, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, and then here we go with yet another match between Shotzi and Priscilla Kelly.
Yeah.
I mean, they just keep rolling on. In fact, I think there was one of the last MLW PLEs they had. I think they were on that as well in a match. So it just keeps on rolling. There's a lot of other stuff planned for this episode. We got Scarlett Bordeaux in a match. And then here's another runner for Hammerstone and Bishop Dyer. Damn.
Bang.
Yeah.
That should be a good match.
That'll be a hard hitting one. Yeah. As well as will be the Good Brothers and the Coffee Brothers. I like that matchup. The debut of Zamaya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
It's ironic. It's ironic because I'm going to talk about Zamaya here in just a second anyway.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Yes, sir. Diego Hill, Adam Brooks, and then Shotzi is getting a challenge from Shoko Nakajima over, I don't know if that's a Stardom talent. I'm not familiar with that name, but and then we have a little vignette about Don Gato, who's been in and out of this promotion, or actually more in the last about year or so, due to a sponsorship deal that they have with the tequila company that I believe Danny McBride is a part of, has this Don Gato gimmick. So they're continuing that partnership here at MLW. Uh-huh. So I'm jazzed, man. I can't wait for MLW to be back. It's been a while since I've seen them. So I'm looking forward to the weekly episodic format returning.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, MLW has always put out quality stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely I'm going to be joining you, checking this show out.
Excellent.
On a consistent basis, for sure.
Excellent.
So, all right. So the show that I'm looking forward to coming up is FSW High Octane Money to Burn. They're going to be setting the stage for their upcoming Cash in the Case and setting the stage for their 17th anniversary show, which is going to be at the end of July. So that is going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, just a couple of things that have been announced for this coming show on the 31st of May. So just right on Sunday, you got BYP versus Nick Xander in a qualifier match. They did tweak the lineup since the last time that we talked about it on this show. There's going to be a wild card scramble for at one of those spots in the Cash in the Case. You're going to have Brett the Threat. You're going to have Joe Braxton, Dave Mazzani, and a mystery opponent taking up that fourth spot. So definitely could be interesting there. We got Dante King versus Luke Curtis in another qualifier. Ice Williams versus Kevin Koa in what should be a great match. Not to be outdone, though, Bryce Saturn and Watson, two great, great young talents. And, yeah, we've got a lot of really good things on the horizon with FSW and with independent pro wrestling as a whole, man. So, obviously, we checked out a lot of really good shows this week. And we got a lot of really good things coming up over the next couple of weeks. But before we head out of here, Jed, let's get some final thoughts. Talk to the good people. Tell them where they can follow you on YouTube and social media and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. On YouTube, Red Jed's Wrestling Rants. We've been dropping these episodes in partnership on the Bad Boy Podcast Network, on Sin City Steve's YouTube, and on Red Jed Wrestling Rants. So check them out whenever you want. And actually, go take a look back. I got rants from about 2021 all the way up to around Survivor Series of 2023. Lots of various stuff that I did back then. If you want to just take a look back in history on some maybe PLE results, things of that nature, weekly recaps, things of that nature back then. As well, lots of live clips, highlight clips from matches that I'm attending live, dark matches that you can't see on TV, dark segments after the pay-per-view ends or after a taping ends. A lot of that content on there as well. Entrances, high spots, you name it, all on my YouTube channel, Red Jed Wrestling Rants, baby!
Hell yes, man. And I want to just say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country. Whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%. And you know what, Jed? We're heading out of here, but I want to make sure that the people know where they can find us. So I'm going to just stretch this out just a little bit. If you are hearing my voice right now, you can check out the flagship program, Wrestling Talk, right here on the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast Network, wherever you're hearing this or watching this. And we will be doing that on Tuesday, Tuesday night, 9:30 p.m. Pacific time. And be looking for that. But until next time, we will be covering the best in independent pro wrestling. You know that we will be right back here. Mm-hmm. See you next time.
Indie time.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.